Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study. This is being taught from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we welcome everyone that has joined us today. We are now studying in the book of Hebrews. And today we're on the lesson called Lesson 3. This lesson is a review. And those that have joined us in Lesson 1 and 2 know that we have already been doing a review of the entire chapter of the book of Hebrews. This is called an overview. And in this review, we're looking at the different segments that the book of Hebrews is divided. And also, we're doing another observation of the book of Hebrews. So, bear with us as we study, because we want to get an entire view of what the book of Hebrews is about. And to do that, we have to take a picture by reading and studying each chapter. So let us start our lesson today in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again that you have allowed us to come and to sit at your table. Father, we ask that you feed us with your word as we study together. Father, just help us to listen to what you're saying. Speak to us, Father. And may we abide in you and you abiding in us because, Father, we know that we cannot even have the breath that we breathe without you. And we give you praise and honor and glory. And our prayer is that thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I ask now that the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct and teach this lesson. Father, that we all may learn of you and that we will learn of Jesus. Father, just give you the praise now for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. So, the first thing that we are going to discuss today is what Hebrews is about and why that it was written. First, we realize in our previous studies that Hebrews is a word of exhortation. It's primarily, the entire book is about Jesus, our high priest. And the scripture says, let us draw near with confidence. And it's repeated in this letter of exhortation. But the letter is also a warning about listening to the word of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's so important. Sometimes we hear and we don't hear. And what I mean by that is that we hear the words, but we don't listen in our heart to what the words are saying to us as an individual. So, it's very important that we learn to listen to what Jesus is saying, because he speaks to us in his word individually. So Jesus is compared in our study of Hebrews with several Old Testament people and things that took place in the Old Testament. So, what then were the circumstances of the people that the book of Hebrews was written to? It was written, first of all, to Jewish believers who had heard the word of the Lord from those that had heard it from Jesus himself. So the author was one of those who probably heard from one of Jesus' apostles. And these Jewish believers had endured to a degree, but the author warned them to hold fast and to endure to the end. His constant comparison of Jesus, our high priest, with the things of the Old Testament shows that they might have been tempted to go back to the elementary things and not press on to maturity. So, what does it mean about not going back to elementary things? Those are the things that they followed and that they believed before they were Christians, before they received salvation. And so the primary purpose then of the writer is to encourage them to press on and not go back, not fall back into those old things that they were previously in. And some of them even turned away. So the warning is saying, don't turn away, don't fall back. So where was the writer when he wrote Hebrews? We find that answer in verse 13, in chapter 13 of Hebrews, verses 23 and 24. And in that answer, we learn that the writer is in prison at the time, and he is in prison in Italy. So it's important that we know all of these things. That's why that we are continuing to do review right up front in our study. So he is, he was a contemporary, we learned that in the 13th chapter, of Timothy. And he wanted to visit the recipients along with Timothy since he had been released from prison. So here we learn that the writer is a companion and friend of Timothy. So this helps us to understand more about who the writer is. As we discussed earlier, when the book was written, it tells us that it was unknown who the author was. But as the years have gone by, theologians and professors have come to the conclusion that they believe that Paul is the writer. And some of the things that is written is comparable to the things that Paul wrote in the other 13 letters that he has written in the New Testament. He mentioned that others were in prison. Evidently, they were there for their faith in Christ. So he wrote to exhort, to encourage the believers to endure and hold fast to the very end. And they needed to draw near with confidence to their high priest who is able to save forever. Now, when we are looking at this, we know that it was written to these Hebrew believers. But we also know that the Word of God was written to us as believers. It was written for all, that all may believe and all may be encouraged. And it's a letter to encourage us as believers to press on and not fall back into our old sins, our old way. So, looking now, we are going to take the chapters again, and we're looking today at what we have learned in chapter 1. So, what was chapter 1 about? And what is the comparison between chapters 1 and chapter 2? First of all, we learned in chapter 1 that God spoke long ago to the prophets. And all Jews knew and believed that fact. The Old Testament contains what he spoke to them. And we know that all the Jews believed in the Old Testament. And so the comparison is that in these last days, he spoke in his Son. So this is what they have to believe, that God spoke in the Old Testament, in the earlier days, through the prophets. But now he is saying in his writings here in the New Testament that God spoke in his Son, referring to Jesus. So what does the text say about the Son? You find that answer in verses 1 through 4. Today I'm not reading the scriptures because we will begin reading the scriptures in our next lesson. And so what I'm doing is bringing out the highlights that you may make notes so that when we begin reading the scriptures next lesson, that you will have some notes, something to follow, some highlights of each chapter that will help you as you study that chapter. So now let's look at what the text says in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1 about the Son, Jesus. First, we learn that he is heir of all things. And then he is creator. And also, it tells us that he is the radiance of God's glory. And he is the exact representation of God's nature. And the fifth thing that we find is that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And then we learn that he has made a purification of sins. And then number seventh reason that are the things that we learn about him, Jesus, is that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God on high. And also we learn that he became better than the angels. And then another thing that we learned in these first four verses, that Jesus inherited a more excellent name than angels. Now we will get into the details on all of these things as we study and start in our lesson next week as we read the scriptures and go through these. Now, let's look at verses 5 through 14, and we'll see what the comparison of Jesus the Son is. These verses are filled with Old Testament references. So we're seeing a comparison of Jesus and the Old Testament prophets that are referred to. So these are some of the things that God spoke to the prophets. He spoke to them and he said, the Son is better than the angels. And in verse 5, he said that he is God's Son, speaking of Christ Jesus. And verse 6 of chapter 1, Hebrews, says that God will again bring the firstborn into the world. So we need this to help us with the next lesson that we're going to study. So make notes as we go along so that you'll have something as you study the first chapter that you can refer to. So now let's continue. What does verse 6 say about the angels? It tells us that they're to worship the firstborn of God, the Son, referring to Jesus. And looking now at verse 7, what does this verse teach about angels? It tells us that they'll also study. It tells us that God makes angels winds, his ministers, a flame of fire. And then it tells us that angels serve God. Now, you can put down this Old Testament chapter that refers to that. And it's in Psalms 104, verse 4. And it was, see, written back in the Old Testament. So what is the contrast then between verses 8 and 9? So look at these verses and you see the word but. So when you see the word but, it's a contrast. So the Son of God and his throne is forever. He'll rule in righteousness. And God anointed him above his companions. So there you see a contrast and a comparison in that verse that God anointed him above his companions. So looking now at verses 10 through 12. These verses teach us about the Son, about Jesus. He's the Lord who laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens. And you can go back into the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then in verse 12 it says, he'll, referring to Jesus, exists after the heavens and the earth are rolled up and changed. And we find that in the New Testament in John 1, verses 1 through 5. He's eternal. He's the same forever. Now going to verse 13 of chapter 1 of Hebrews. What is he, referring to Jesus, now according to verse 13? You can compare it with verse 3. After making purification of sin, he sat down at God's right hand, and he'll be there until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. Then, according to verse 6, he'll come into the world again, and he'll rule forever with righteousness. So, what does the last verse teach about angels? This is verse 7. That they are ministering spirits. God sends them to serve for those who will inherit salvation. So we as believers have angels. We have ministering spirits. They are made to serve God, and they are ministers to us. So we find that God sends them to serve for those who will and inherit salvation. Now, today we're also going to look at Hebrews 2, Hebrews chapter 3 through 10, and then chapter 10 through 13. We're again reviewing the entire book, so just pay close attention, make notes, and remember that this is to get us a full picture of what we're going to study in the next lessons that are to follow. And looking at chapter 2, we find how that this chapter relates to chapter 1. We see this same flow of thought. And we're looking then at what this segment is about. This is another segment. We looked at chapter 1 as the first segment. Now we're looking at chapter 2 as the second segment. And we see that God spoke in His Son, and He said, pay close attention to what He said. This now is a comparison between what was spoken in the Old Testament through the prophets and the angels, and what was spoken by the Lord and others in the New Testament. His word of salvation was confirmed by signs and wonders by those who heard it from Him, from Jesus Himself. So, now going to verses, we're in chapter 2, verse 5 through 18. There's still a contrast between the Son and the angels. For a while He, Jesus, was made lower than the angels, so that He tasted death for everyone. He became flesh and blood. But He doesn't give help to angels, only people. He gives aid to those who are tempted. So, tempted to what? What are we tempted to? We're tempted to sin, to follow after the things of Satan. Now, the next segment is Hebrews chapter 3 through chapter 10. That is the third segment in the book of Hebrews. So, what is this segment about, and what is the flow of thought? It's about comparing Jesus and Moses. So, consider Jesus the apostle, one that's sent with a message, and high priest of our confession. Then it tells us that His faithfulness is compared to Moses. And then further down, it says, therefore, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. This is similar to the warning in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. If you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. And then He expresses to hold fast our confidence, our assurance, to the very end. And don't be like those in the wilderness who didn't believe and disobeyed. And that is referring back to the Israelites that Moses led out of bondage from the Egyptian bondage that they were under Pharaoh. And when they got to the promised land, and Moses sent the spies over and they came back, there were 10 that said they couldn't take the land. And then we learned there were 2 Joshua and Caleb that said, yes, we can. And those that said we can't, they were under disbelief. They were not obedient. God caused them to wander in the wilderness 40 years, and they died out, and they were not allowed to go into the promised land. We all know that story. So this is a comparison here. So what word is repeated in both chapters 3 and 4? And that word we learn is rest, entering his rest by faith, by belief. That's when we enter into his rest, is when we believe upon the name of Jesus. And so it's those who don't believe that harden their hearts when they hear his voice. So he encourages in these chapters, therefore hold fast our confession, draw near with confidence, because of Jesus, our high priest. So now looking, we're still in this third section. We're in the, looking at chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, through 1, 10 through 10, 18. We learn that Jesus, our high priest, with the Levitical priesthood. And so there's comparison, the chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, with chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, and verses 35 through 39. So what is the contest? What is the contrast? It tells us in these verses that even though some might shrink back and not listen to his voice, it is still saying, you hold fast. You that are believers and have accepted the word, don't fall back. Don't be like those. The contrast is there are some that don't hold on to the truth, and there are those that do. So these chapters compare Jesus with the Old Testament. Why is it necessary to compare Jesus with the Old Testament? If the recipients, these that the letter was written to, were Jews, it's named Hebrews, then they would have known very well the Old Testament. So the Old Testament tells about the Levitical priesthood and sacrificial system of worship associated with the tabernacle. And in these chapters, the author, the writer of Hebrews, told that Jesus is much better than all of that in the Old Testament. He makes perfect those who draw near. And also we learn in these chapters, the author told that Jesus is much better than all of that in the Old Testament. And he makes perfect those who draw near. And in those chapters, all in we're looking at the segment of chapter 10 through chapter 3 through 10, and he warned them about continuing in willful sin. And he told them that it led to judgment. Now, going from chapter 10, verse 38, through chapter 13, verse 25, we're seeing the exhortation and how it relates to Hebrews 11 through 13, these last verses, that exhortation of verse chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, it relates to Hebrews 11, chapter 11 through chapter 13. So, what do we learn that the exhortation or the encouragement is? There are several things here, about seven things that are pointed out. And first of all, if you want to make a note of this, the righteous live by faith. We have faith to the preserving of the soul. And next, we learn in these chapters that even the men of old, referring to the prophets, gained approval by their faith. And next, Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. He endured, so you endure. And then next, we learn in these chapters to endure discipline from God who loves you. We know in the scripture it tells us that God disciplines his children. He disciplined those that he loves. And the next thing is, don't refuse him. Don't refuse Jesus who is speaking. And that goes back to chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And then we learn in this last segment to show gratitude. Offer to Jesus, offer to him an acceptable service of obedience. So the letter ends, this entire letter of Hebrews ends with a list of instructions which are part of the acceptable service of God. So, are you willing to endure? Are you willing to hold fast to the end? Do we want to draw nearer to God? Do we want confidence and assurance? If we say yes to all of this, how will we be able to do it? And this is why that we're studying the book of Hebrews, because it tells us how that we can endure, how that we can hold fast to the end. And when you're talking about to the end, that is when Jesus comes back. How can we hold out? All of these things are in the book of Hebrews, and it's very important that we get these reviews or this overview so that we can have a big picture and how that we can learn that God has made a way, once we have believed in the name of Jesus, a way for us to hold on, a way for us to overcome, and for us to be obedient to his word. I pray that you will be much in prayer as we study this entire book of Hebrews. And I pray that as we go through this, that we'll be much in prayer, looking to what the Holy Spirit is saying to each of us as individual. This whole book of Hebrews is speaking to each of us individually, because we have been saved by the grace of God through his son Jesus. So he starts out in this book with all of this has come from God through his son. He's speaking to us through his son. So I pray that we will use it as individuals, and let him speak to us as we study chapter by chapter. pray for me that God will use me and hide me behind the cross, put me on the potter's wheel and mold me and make me that he may use me for his honor and for his glory, because it's all for his glory that we are here in this world to live out our lives to glorify him. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father, that you penned it down for us, that we might know, Father, that we can endure, that you have made a way through your Son, your precious only begotten Son. And I just pray as we go through each chapter by chapter, word upon word, Father, that we will learn of you, that we will have ears to hear as your Son speaks through your word, that he came here and as in the flesh, as a man, walked upon this earth, took upon him all the sins of the world that we might have eternal life. Thank you for Jesus, and I ask it all now in his precious name. Amen.